Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I am so glad that you've tuned into the program. My name is Brent Russett and I'm the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. I've been preaching there for 28 years and one of the things I love to do is show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. And I am so glad that you're here listening because this is a chance for you to gain some insight. Some of you have been following Jesus and you love Him, and so I'm hoping that this program will be an encouragement to you. Some of you are considering faith, but you're not quite sure, you know, do I believe this, do I not? Well, I think this will be helpful in terms of how to live out a faith that if you were to trust Jesus, that this is what it means. Some of you, you don't really know anybody of faith, and you're just trying to figure out, what do these people actually believe? Well, I'm hoping that today will be helpful in that regard as well. This morning, I want to talk about a principle that's found in the Word of God. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Now, Andy Stanley tells a story of when he was a teenager, and he was driving home late one night with a buddy from another town, and close to where they were driving, there was this, they were constructing a new highway, and it was still closed, but it looked pretty good, and they figured they would make better time if they went around the barriers and they took the new highway. Well, he said it was great. They were clipping down the road at 100 kilometers an hour. There's no traffic. Life was good, but then another car pulled in behind them and chased them down, and they pulled alongside of them and motioned them over to the side of the road. Andy pulled over. The guy got out and told Andy, in just a few kilometers, there was a bridge and it wasn't completed. And if they were going, kept going like they were going, they would sail off the end of the bridge and kill themselves. Andy said, I never told my mom that story. He calls it the principle of the path. If you keep on driving on the road that you're on, you're going to get to where the road is taking you. If it's not a good road, you'll end up flying over a bridge, getting stuck in the mud, or crashing into a rock slide. If you keep on the road you're driving on, you're going to get where that road is taking you. Like, that seems really obvious, right? Then why do we have such a hard time putting that into practice? If you keep on driving on the financial road you're on, you're going to get to where that road is taking you. If you keep on spending more than you make, you can see where that road will take you. It is true of your emotions. If you keep on living on such a way where stress and conflict and guilt and fear drain more of your emotions than you have time to deposit with in your emotions with acts of kindness and good relationships and time spent doing meaningful things. In other words, if you keep on living in a way where you're spending more emotional capital than you're depositing, you can see where that road is going to take you. It's true relationships. If you keep on neglecting relationships that are important to you, you can see where that road is going to take you. The question you need to ask yourself is about a number of areas of your life is, what road am I driving on? Or another way to say the same thing in the language of a scripture passage that we're going to read, you reap what you sow. Now, I grew up on a dairy farm. Farming 101 says that you reap what you sow. If you sow corn in a field, you don't expect to reap a crop of oats. If you sowed alfalfa in a field, you don't expect to reap a harvest of wheat. You reap what you sow. Even those who grew up in the city and know nothing about farming understand this: you reap what you sow. And this is exactly what the Word of God says. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sows." New Living Translation puts it this way: "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You'll always harvest what you plant." Now, you intuitively understand that you reap what you sow. The Bible is so emphatic on this point that it appeals to the character of God, and it would go against the very nature of God to reap something different than you sow. God set the world up so that you get what you give. It is part of God's very nature, and it's part of the nature of this world. So if it's so intuitive, why does the Word of God bother stating the obvious? Well, the reality is that many of us try to reap something different than we sow. I know people who go out on Friday and Saturday night and party pretty hard, and then they go to Sunday and they pray for crop failure. But life doesn't work like that. We sow to materialism, we'll reap debt and stress. If we sow to selfishness, you'll reap loneliness. If you sow judgment, you'll reap judgment. If you sow mercy, you reap mercy. If you sow faith, you reap the power of God. Or another way to look at it, you don't reap what you don't sow. When we fail to sow time with God, we will fail to reap intimacy with God. If we fail to sow time exercising, you'll reap a body that's out of shape. Are you sowing now the kind of crops that you would like to reap a year from now or a decade from now? We reap what we sow. You know, there are a lot of people who get into emotional binds because they haven't taken note of this principle. A lot of people miss out in all kinds of blessings as well because, well, they don't understand how life works. And I think maybe Christians some Christians think they're exempt from this principle. After all, the way we became Christians didn't conform to this rule. We didn't get out what we put in. We didn't get what we deserved. We received mercy instead of justice. We received grace, undeserved favor instead of judgment. In other words, we didn't reap what we sowed. We sowed sin, but our sin was forgiven. And we're also so immersed in a love-based faith that one of the first things we learn about God is that God is love. In fact, if you had to boil God's character down to two words, it would be holy love. But we all know, at least in our heads, that God is God of love, and we did nothing to deserve that love. We know that if you're a Christian, you know that you're saved by grace, which means God is undeserved favor. We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works, lest any one of us should boast. That is our faith. That's grace. That's love. That's how we came to know God. That's how you become a Christian, is you put your faith in Jesus. This is right and this is good. But many people seem to make the jump from there to say, well, then it doesn't matter what I do. God is loving and God is gracious. God will forgive me. And therefore, what I do doesn't have any real effect. In other words, the sowing and reaping principle doesn't apply to me when I became a Christian, so it doesn't apply to me right now, right? No. See, after all, if God loves me no matter what I do, if I can't do anything to make him love me anymore, I can't make him love me any less, then it doesn't matter what I do, right? It's true that God loves you, and he loves you, and his love for you does not depend on your action towards God. What you do doesn't affect God's attitude towards you, but it does affect you. Those of you who have kids, especially older kids, will get this. I'm going to love my kids even if they do stupid things. But doing stupid things has consequences that my love for them does not save them from. I went on a police ride-along some time ago on a Friday night. And on that night, the officer I was riding with arrested a 14-year-old kid for stealing a phone. He took the kid back to his mom, and it was obvious that this boy had a good mom, a mom who loved him. But her love for her boy could not save her boy from the stupid thing that he did. God's love for you does not depend on your action towards God. God loves you, but your actions still have consequences. Even though God loves you, you'll reap what you sow. Thought it'd be a good time to reflect on the love of God. We're going to listen to a golden oldie from George Beverly Shea, The Love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall
we can only see a little of the ocean as we stand on the rocky shore, but out there beyond the eye's horizon, there's more. We can only see a little of God's loving, a few rich treasures from his mighty store, but out there beyond the eye's horizon, there's more. There's more. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God. From sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall
we're talking about you reap what you sow. Remember, these verses that I'm going to read were written to Christians, but the principle of reaping and sowing applies to everybody. This is what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You reap whatever you sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, those who live only to satisfy their sinful nature will reap a harvest of decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So what does it mean to sow to the flesh or sow to the sinful nature? Well, Galatians chapter 5, it says this: the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Now, some things on that list will be no temptation to you. Others will be very much tempted to sow. Some of these things you do as individuals. Some of these things happen in toxic groups. it is easier to become part of dissensions and factions if you're in context that is with others. But whether it's an individual or a group, you are responsible for what you sow, and you will reap what you sow. But you'll notice that you can sow in different ways, and the crop tends to be the same, destruction. But destruction comes in different ways. See, if you're sowing an us-against-them mentality, which people do if they're living out of dissensions and factions, that will destroy you one way. It'll destroy your social group. It will destroy people's trust of you. It will destroy the good that can come from community. If you're sowing idolatry, well, that will destroy you in another way. Idolatry is putting something ahead of God. Idolatry will always warp the way you view the world because you're putting the idol as first place in your life. It will distort what is good and what is important. So you tend to miss the important so that you can pay homage to the gods in your life. This will destroy you in a different way. When you sow to the flesh, though, you reap destruction. I don't know if you've ever sown a carrot seed, but a carrot seed looks nothing like a carrot. An apple seed looks nothing like an apple tree. Sometimes the destruction you reap looks nothing like the seed that you've sown. The correlation between what you sow in your life and what you reap may not be immediately obvious either. Like the person who gets betrayed by a friend and plants a vow never to trust anyone again. Then they can't figure out why they can't form deep relationships with anyone. They can't figure out why loneliness is a predominant theme even when they are with people they like. Like the person who judges how others look, and then they wonder why they have a problem with self-image. Like the person who sows gossip and secret slander. If you watch those people, you will often see how they reap insecurity and how they are easily hurt. The seed you sow may not look exactly like the plant you reap, but you will reap what you sow. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Again, some of these will come easier to you than others. Some of these you'll do because of personality or environment, it'll be easier to live out. Others will, well, they'll be more challenging. You know, these, by the way, are byproducts of the Spirit that are at work in your life. If you let the Spirit lead you into the type of life that He wants for you, He will lead you in ways, and you'll see how it'll allow you to live out ways that your life will flourish. You see, the question you have to ask is, what are you sowing? See, you reap what you sow. Or another way of saying it, what you sow has consequences, either good or bad, but what you sow has consequences. Now, when you live on a farm, you're hyper-aware of the seasons. As a rule, you sow in the spring and you reap in the fall. Or in the case of hay, you sow in the spring and you reap a year and 3 months from when you sowed. Or if you plant an acorn of an oak tree, it can be a decade before you'll see a small oak tree. There's always a lag time between when you sow and when you reap. If you know anything about counseling, then you'll know this to be true. Often the problems we experience later in life have to do with the undealt with problems that we experienced earlier in life. How we responded to the good we should have had but didn't get, or the bad we got from people that should have been good to us, often creeps up later in life. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, in those kind of situations, we sow vows, I'll never be like this, or I'll never be like my dad, or, you know, I'm going to keep my distance from people. I'm not going to get hurt again. And when you sow those kind of vows, it has a way of affecting your life. Now, I have some good news for you. The mercy and grace of God goes deeper than anything you've sown. There's some of you are thinking, yeah, I've sown a lot to destruction. I've done a lot of bad things. There's a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And as I look back on it, and as I look at the path on now, and as I look at the seeds I've sown in my life, you know, if what you're saying is true, I'm in for a world of hurt. Well, let me tell you this, first of all. God loves you. Even if you've sown seeds of destruction, God loves you. There are many times when we sow seeds of destruction because, well, we didn't really know better. There are times when you sow those seeds because, well, you thought it really wouldn't matter. There are times when you sowed those seeds because, well, you just really wanted to and you gave in to temptation. And you can start to see where you're reaping destruction. And you know it. And it may take the form of insecurity or abandonment issues. It may take the form of walling yourself off from others. You may feel emotionally drained or have rejection issues. It may show up in bitterness, or pride, or rebellion issues. Some of you are very aware of your own issues, and some of you only have an inkling that something's wrong, and I keep sabotaging myself, and I'm not sure what's going on. But I want you to know this. The mercy of God and the grace of God wants to help you deal with even those things. You have reaped what you've sown, but he wants to deliver you from destruction. I've got to say, I wish there was an easy process for this. But in general, it involves repenting for what you did wrong. There's usually, when you start to look at what went wrong, there's usually a lie that you believed about God or yourself that attaches itself to what you've sown. And you usually, you know, God doesn't care or it doesn't matter that I've done this wrong or whatever. There's a lie that you believe in, so you'll need to repent of the lie and confess the truth. And you need to invite Jesus in the process to heal you not only of your hurts but to guide you into all that you're called to be. I tell you this not because I can solve all your issues in a 30-minute program, but I want you to know that there's hope. But I want to warn you. It'll save you a lot of pain if you just don't sow for it to the flesh and reap destruction. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please the flesh will from the flesh reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You catch that last verse? Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's often a lag time between doing good and reaping a harvest as well. And sometimes there is a temptation to give up before we see the harvest. Sometimes the temptation is to give up doing good because does it really matter? Does it matter what I'm doing? Yeah, I keep on sowing seeds of goodness, and I keep on praying for people. But does it really matter? I want to urge you not to give up on doing good. The promise is that you will reap a harvest at the proper time if you do not give up. You know, I know people who have sown prayers for their kids coming to know the Lord, and they prayed for year upon year upon year upon year. And they didn't see any movement. But they were persistent, and God was gracious. And those kids came to know the Lord. I know people who have served in the same place for year after year, and they didn't see much fruit at first. But then they kept on planting, and they kept on sowing the seed of good. And then all of a sudden, in God's time, there was so much good. They reaped a harvest because they did not give up. This morning, I want to ask you, what path are you on? You can ask that question in relationships. You know, are you feeding into the relationships that are important to your life, or are you ignoring them? You're going to reap what you sow. The path that you're on is going to take you to where the path goes. When I ask this about finances, you reap what you sow. If you're spending more than you make, you'll reap what you sow. And so what path are you on? Ask yourself about your emotions. You reap what you sow. If you are stressed out and you're giving out more than you're taking in, then something's going to give. You're going to get to where that path is taking you. There's no place good. So what you'll need to do is to back off and say, wait a second, what are the things that I need to sow into my life so that I can reap a life that flourishes? It's the same with your career. Keep on going to the path you're on. Are you going to get to where you want to go? Where's the path taking you? But there's something going on deeper in these verses, and they make us focus on the question of what path are we on spiritually? Are you on a path that's moving you towards God or away from God? Are you pursuing God or are you running from God? If you keep to the path that you're on, you'll get to where the path is taking you. If you keep on sowing what you're sowing, you'll reap what you sow. Are you sowing for intimacy with God? Are you sowing for love for God? Are you allowing God to work in your life so he can show you who he is? Are you taking the time for God to show up in your life and for you to acknowledge that? You will reap what you sow. You will either flourish spiritually or you will die spiritually. And it all comes down to what you sow spiritually. God loves you. God loves you no matter what path you're on. But what you do, what you sow, the path that you travel has consequences. I know that God wants you to spiritually thrive. Will you sow what you need to sow so that you can reap a life of flourishing, that you can reap a life of knowing God, that you can know him for who he is? Let's pray. Lord, as I've been talking about your word, and a lot of it makes sense whether people are people of faith or not, that they will get to where they're going and they'll reap what they sow. Lord, I'm asking that people will also consider their spiritual life. And are they sowing in a way that will allow their relationship with you to flourish? I pray that you would allow them to do that, show them ways to do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. Thanks for tuning in, and I trust that God has met you as you've been listening. My name is Brent Russett, and it is a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.